I'm Patty Whitfler, and I'm the founder of Hand in Hand and now the program director. First of all, thank you for being interested in our program. This is how we multiply the number of people who can teach parenting by connection. And we do it both with people who live at a distance and people who live locally and come locally. And in the classes that we've had, we've been doing the coming program, which starts in September, will be, I think, our 7th class. Done. We did one entirely in Spanish 1 year, and the rest have been in English. And it's a year-long program. Well, it's an 11-month program. We do, or maybe, I guess, yeah. We have 10 classes on the weekends. They're always on Saturday from 12:30 to 4:30 down here in Palo Alto. And people who live at a distance can join us by video. We don't have a capability of streaming video, so you can't see it live. But we post the videos as quickly after the Saturday classes as we can, and then you can watch them at your leisure via your high-speed internet connection. If you don't have some kind of cable or high-speed internet, this class really won't work for you unless you borrow someone's computer once a week or, you know, once a month, actually. But it does work. It has worked surprisingly well. We've kind of been amazed at how well it works for people in other countries and other parts of the U.S. So we now teach classes that are international in nature, and we like to do it that way. And so we now have someone who learned from us here who's teaching in Israel. We have someone who has been part of our program from Sweden. I believe we'll probably have someone from England this year. And so we're, you know, and we have several people. Actually, we have something like 5 or 6 teachers in Australia at this point, in various parts of Australia. They have a little, you know, a support phone call going on a regular basis there. So what parenting by connection is, you must know something about it if you've called into this, you know, to this call. It's a very powerful parenting approach that is almost infinitely flexible. The tools we teach are simple. However, it takes some real work to unlearn the habits that we get from indoctrination in our society, that crying means something's wrong, that parents ought to be able to do it all by themselves, and you're kind of a failure if you ask for help or feel like you need help. You know, that your child needs to look good in order to be good. I don't know. There's a whole mindset, a very thoroughgoing mindset, which we find not as useful as the mindset that you get once you begin the practice of parenting by connection, which validates children's instincts. It validates their instinct to laugh as much as they can, to cry when things are hard, to have tantrums when they get frustrated and are blocked in their ability to learn something, or when something that they expected doesn't happen quite the way they wanted it to or quite the way they thought it should. It validates children's instinct to offload emotional tension in these ways. And then what we find is that children's thinking is really, and their ability to build sound judgment over time is really promoted when parents who are now freed of feeling like they have a bad child when their child is upset can move in and listen to their children, move in and connect proactively, move in and set limits in a way that doesn't shame or blame the child, but that does create an effective limit and allows the child the room to offload the feelings that they were having that caused them to do something that wasn't really workable. So it's a very flexible but very powerful approach that can really change people's lives. It's a practice. It's not just, you know, well, if you're having trouble with toilet training, then do this and do this and, you know, put food coloring in the, you know, in the toilet so the pee turns, you know, green when he pees in there, and then he'll be so excited and yada yada. It's not a bunch of sort of superficial fixes. It's actually ways to be with one another, both parent to parent and parent to child, that foster intelligence and that uncover intelligence that's been blocked by feelings of upset or worries or experiences that just have not gone well, both on the parent side and on the child side. And we have parenting by connection practitioners, people who have gone through our program who are working with parents of children who are dying in a hospital in Toledo, Ohio, who are working in various kinds of agencies that serve parents or that do parent outreach, including, you know, school groups that do parent outreach. And we have people working in religious congregations. We're about to certify as a teacher someone who is becoming a minister in a Christian church in September, and she's going to do almost nothing but family support using hand-in-hand tools that she's learned with us. People use it in their neighborhood associations, in PTAs, in mothers' groups, and we have people who have used these tools for women who are in jail, both women and men who are in recovery. The tools can be adapted to many different kinds of situations. And so if you have a passion, if you have an issue that you're really wanting to address, Parenting by Connection can probably be adapted to do that, and we can train you so that you are, you know, teaching and practicing a faithful and effective version of Parenting by Connection. And that's what this program is for. Our goals really are to train people thoroughly in the program and to support them well while they're being trained. So our program is all about hands-on learning within your family, within your neighborhood, within the institution, you know, the child care nursery school or daycare center that you're working in, within your neighborhood. You need to be able to get to have interactions that are in which you are being trusted, parents with children, preferably with both. You know, we need you to get lots of hours of trying to figure these tools out, trying them and succeeding, trying them and failing, trying them and having sort of a crashing burnouts of your ability to understand the situation and stay on top of it, after which we listen to you. You uncover the feelings that you have either after what you thought you were doing, you know, didn't work very well or worked only partially well. We help you uncover, you know, what the emotions are that got, you know, triggered by a partial learning or a hardly any bit of learning experience that you put your whole self into and it didn't quite turn out the way you planned. And then you can think better about it. You can go back and you can try it again, and what you do will work better. You will learn again. And we basically use the tools to support people to learn the process, to learn the approach. And we create, or we insist that you have connections with either other people in the program or with that you create listening partnerships with people in your life. A good friend, the mother down the street who's parenting you think is, you know, really good and you want to support her and you think she could probably support you. You figure out who you want to do listening partnerships with, and you need to pursue those partnerships. And in order to teach for Hand in Hand, probably one of our very bottom lines is that you need to be doing a listening partnership with someone that's really working for you. You need someone who understands you, so that when times become hard, you have someone you can go to and you can have a good cry, you can have a good laugh, you can go, oh my God, I am frustrated out of my mind. And they will know what to do, they'll know how to listen to you, they'll know how to help you offload the feelings that are getting in your way so that you are unstoppable. We basically want people who, if they run into difficulty or discouragement and they do have the support system all set up that they can rid themselves of that discouragement, figure out what feelings, you know, got triggered by the discouragement, offload those feelings, and go back and try something new. So, for instance, one of our teachers in Australia has never taught this before, but she's, you know, we're in the 10th month of our, or 9th or 10th month of our program. So she started a study group, and she started listening to parents, and they left the first time going, oh, I said way too much. I can't possibly be looking at my feelings like this. I don't want to talk to people at such a deep level. I don't know if I can come back. And she was just devastated. She was just so, oh, you know, I did it. I did it well. I led it well. I thought it was going great, and nobody wants to come back. You know, I've talked to people on the phone. They're going, oh, I don't know. This is probably too much for me. And so I just, as her mentor, I just directed her to have some listening partnership time, work on the feelings that this brought up, you know, and I gave her a couple of suggestions for what to do the next time. And I think she had something like 3 listening partnership times that week, and cried and cried and cried about the time she'd been rejected as a child, the time she didn't feel loved, the time she had felt like nobody wants to be with her, you know, all those little school time things that happened that we all somehow got through, but we've never really gone back and cleaned out the feelings that got hurt there. She really worked on it, and she said, one person did drop out, but out of the 6 moms in her group, 5 people came back. She restructured what they were doing. Her tone was lighter. They had a lot of fun. They laughed. They gave each other special time. And they all were so stoked by the end of the second class. And so she, out of 6 people, 1 stayed away, and the other 5 were like, oh, I can't wait till next week. This is just great. But what was maybe even more important, she just said, you know, I feel like a different person. It's like I never would have thought to work on times that I felt rejected and unloved and that people didn't want to hear what I had to say or what I had to contribute. And she said, I got off such big feelings. I cried my head off. My heart just broke. And afterwards, the whole world looks different to me. She said, I feel so much more confident. There's nothing that could have happened that would have really knocked me over the second time. And I'm so glad it went well, but I'm in a much better place. So this is the kind of sort of personal growth that you can look forward to in our program. Not everybody has that kind of a, you know, and the clouds parted and, you know, the sun shone on my head kind of experience every day, but it is something that tends to happen to people in our program. So the program consists of 10 4-hour classes. If you're local, you come to Palo Alto for those classes. If you're not exactly local, then maybe you come for the classes that you can get to and you are a distance learner on other times. And for those of you that live far from Palo Alto, you join us by watching our video. And then for everybody, local or not, we have weekly mentoring phone calls, and we get as many experienced instructors involved in doing phone calls as we have people. We put about 5 people on a call. We try to, you really have to be available at more than one time for an hour a week. It's like if you just have one slot in your week, like from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock on Tuesday morning, and the rest of your week is socked full, you probably need to wait until you have a more flexible schedule in order to join us, because we try to create our mentoring phone calls at times that they work for people. But if you have only one slot and that's it and your life is that packed, it might be a sign that this isn't the year to join us. So this year we had 5 phone calls of 5 people each, and the times were, one was 6 p.m. at night, which worked for the Australians, and one is noon, which worked for the people in Europe, and several were the morning. And one was kind of mid-afternoon. So trying to make things work for various people in various time zones. So in your call, although you might live locally to Palo Alto, you might have someone from Hungary, and you might have someone from New York City, and you might have someone from Des Moines. And these are the people that you're going to be understanding and listening to, and you're going to be following their saga of parenting and or working with parents and children through the year. There is a good amount of reading to do. There are 2 books, possibly 3, that we really want you to read and study in the program. There's no hurry or deadline on it, but we need you to understand the material in those books and be able to talk about it coherently. And we want each person to write 25 anecdotes. 25 times when you used a listening tool and it worked, which means, and for every, I mean, not every time that you try to use a listening tool will it work for you. So this means you need to be practicing all year long in order to get, you know, your 25 times, 5 times when you use listening partnerships to clear your own thinking and do what you wanted to be able to do, 5 anecdotes about special time, 5 anecdotes about play listening, 5 anecdotes about setting limits, and 5 anecdotes about stay listening. And what these are for are, for us, especially if you're a distance person, we can't really tell how you are interpreting our approach. So when I read your anecdotes, that gives me an idea of where I can, you know, what kind of little course corrections, minor course corrections, or I can offer that help you learn a more accurate version of the approach while you're trying to use the listening tools. So that's one of the ways that we ensure that what you're coming away with from our classes is actually what we hoped you were coming away with, what we tried to teach you. And if it's not, we let you know, and sometimes the information doesn't come through to you the way we thought we taught it, and so we help there. So you need to write those anecdotes, and you don't need to have perfect English or anything like that to write the anecdotes. Your English is fine, and some people, we keep offering that you can record the anecdotes if writing is a big stumbling block for you. However, we really would like to have them written, and then those become your teaching tools. It's like when you're trying to explain how this works to another parent, you've actually written down times that it's worked for you or times that it's worked for a parent that you're advising. You've written it down, you've written down the details, and because you've written it down, you're less likely to forget it. Or when you're rushing off to teach a class, you know, you're going, oh my God, what's an anecdote about play listening? I can't remember anything right now. I'm in too much of a rush. You have your little binder you can kind of flip to play listening, and there's five times that you used it well that your memory is jogged by the anecdote you wrote. You will form a listening partnership with someone, either someone in the program or someone in your life, or both. You can set up as many listening partnerships as you have time for, but there needs to be one significant listening partnership, one exchange of listening time that is probably at the very least a half an hour long. An hour a week is pretty minimal for what parents need in order to meet the emotional needs of their family without wearing out, without losing tread, you know, as you go year to year. So we want you to have that. This is part of the approach that we're modeling, is that we build support for ourselves, and we will help you figure that out. We will be modeling listening well to someone, modeling helping people find the emotional release they need, modeling how to really help people while they're working on difficulties that they have no idea how they're going to solve. So we model that every week for 11 months of the year in these phone calls, and we need people to participate in at least 75% of the phone calls, once again, so that you are able to internalize an accurate version of this parenting by connection and understand it well. And, you know, if we're modeling it for you for 11 months, I think, you know, that's really what it takes. Not to mention that these phone calls are going to be very supportive to you. It's like there are going to be times when you're going to go, oh, this kid is driving me absolutely nuts. Or this parent, I don't know how to relate to this parent. You know, they seem to reject every single thing I say. We will help you. We will show you how to use the tools to help in all these different kinds of situations using the phone calls. So you'll be learning from other people and their saga, and they'll be learning from you. You will be required to do some volunteer work. You'll be required to give at least one talk, and if you're local or even not, we'd like you to record your talk or videotape it so that we can see how you're presenting. For people who are working at a distance, we want you to lead a study group so that you get, rather than just watching us all on video, you get some firsthand experience working with parents as their listener in a supportive group. And you will have been in a telephone-based group, but we can't kind of get to you and model it all in person. So you're going to have to get out and start a group. And that's what, you know, the anecdote that I was telling you about the woman in Australia was just that kind of a group. She was all excited about it. And indeed, she is so stoked. I think they're coming to the end of their sixth week, and nobody wants to stop. They've really all felt deeply supported by this little gathering once a week for maybe an hour and a half that she was so discouraged about at first. You'll have a chance to really learn from people of a wide variety of backgrounds in the class. We hope we can get the widest possible variety of backgrounds, and we're really shy on men, so if you know any good dads, men who are working with parents who you would like to recommend this program to, we're more than happy to have them. It's one way in which we're not as diverse as we would like to be. So what I'm going to do now, thank you for listening to all of that. I think I've outlined the program. Once again, I want to emphasize that although there is reading to do, and we offer reading resources, and there's a lot of material that we want you to be familiar with that's offered by Hand in Hand, this is not going to be a class in which you're intellectualizing about things. We want your boots on the ground, working with your children, working with other people's children, working with parents if you're in an agency where you do that. It's like you're going to need to be using the tools from the very first class in order to have enough experience to be able to present that experience accurately and with authenticity. So with hand in hand, we want people to walk the walk before they start talking the talk. It is of maximum importance that as if we're talking to parents who feel so defended and so badly about themselves because no parent gets to do parenting the way they really wish they could, you know, every day, all day. If parents are going to be able to learn from you, you need to be talking from your own experience. Things don't ring true, and parents can't get an interesting but unconventional new idea from someone who's just parroting what they heard or what they read. This isn't good enough for parents, really. So, you know, we want you to use it, try it, and be with us every week so that we can hear how things are going and mentor you along. So right now, I'm going to change what we're doing, and I'm going to ask you to press star 2 if you have a question, and I'll be able to see that you have a question, and I can't necessarily see who you are, but I can see what your phone number is. So this is a caller in the 213 area code?
Yeah, my name is Mary, and I'm calling from Long Beach, California.
Okay, great.
And my question is, what are the long-term plans for making sure that hand-in-hand stays a viable organization? I think the philosophy would outlive anybody, but I'm not sure of your long-term plans or just how long you can maintain these resources. And obviously, it's quite a commitment to become certified in this, and you would want to have, you know, this hand-in-hand entity behind you to kind of give you the validation as a coach. Can you speak to mm-hmm. that a little bit?
Mm-hmm. Good question. That's an excellent question. So we have a strategic plan. We're not an easily sustainable organization right now. We are always, you know, kind of scrambling from one year to the next. We've done that since I started it, but we've been going 22 years. We haven't stumbled yet. Our board is very committed to the long-term health of the organization. We raised a lot of money last year so that we could finally have a real executive director rather than me just trying at being an executive director. So we got someone who's absolutely excellent. So our plan is within the next 2 to 2.5 years to build our fundraising ability so that we are, an organization that sustains itself, A, through sales of booklets, audios, videos. It's got a lot of assets, and we just got a new database that lets us put our assets in an online store, which you'll see, I think, by Friday it's going up. And it's going to be small at first, but we have a lot of things that we can offer parents for a small price that will help sustain us as an organization. And there's no guarantee of anything. A lot of nonprofits are kind of going down the tubes in this very difficult environment right now. I don't think we're going to be one of them. We have some really dedicated donors. We have a lot of work to do as far as fundraising is concerned so that we don't scare ourselves every year. But as far as I can tell, we will be fine. And for me personally, I turned 65 this year, and we have about a 3 to 5 year succession plan. So between now and the time I'm 70, I really am concentrating on training people with every single thing I do. There's almost nothing I do where I'm not training someone. And we have some really sharp, able leaders who we're actively developing. So in the meantime, we're creating assets again out of everything I do, the talks and the phone calls. We're going to have lots and lots of teaching material for years to come that we're building now, and we have enough volunteers that we're beginning to be able to spruce them up and pump them out. So all of that looks good, too. People making donations always helps, and if you want to help us become a sustainable organization, we're happy to have the help. But that's the best
thing. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, someone from Elk Grove.
Okay, my name is Vaughn Harrison, and I'm calling from Oakland, California.
Okay, great. Hi.
And I have a lot of experience, and I wanted to know, do I have to go through the whole course to be certified? Do you guys look at individuals and see what they've already done in the community? And as far as using the hand-in-hand parent by connection, if they've used that already in their own community and in their own work field?
We, in order to certify people, we need to become familiar with you. We want to add to your support network, and we do need you to write your anecdotes and be able to, what we have, how we certify people is that we do an interview at the, you know, whenever people say, hey, I'm ready, I've got this all figured out. And so we do an interview, and that will let us know whether you're able to, you know, whether you have the competencies that we're looking for. But we're also looking not just for your competencies, but for the support network that you have built. So all I can say is that there are some people who have gone through the program and done the certification interview early. Most people don't actually want the program to end because it has helped them, you know, and enrich their lives and help them build relationships that they highly value. So most people are not trying to get through it fast. People are glad to stay in the sort of the cradle of support that we help them build. And they don't lose that when the program is over, but so I don't know. So yes, you can go through it faster if you want. Okay.
One more question. What about scholarships?
We don't offer complete scholarships for anyone. We want to spread our ability to take people who need help around. But you can do what we call work study, which is that you give us some volunteer hours, and we do include in every certification class a couple of work study positions. So that's possible. You can talk with us. Yeah, you can go ahead and apply and say that that's what you're looking for, and generally it's like half price. So you get in for half price. Okay?
Well, thank you.
Great, yeah. I'm so glad you're already out there making good things happen. That's wonderful to hear.
Yep.
Okay. Anybody else have a question? Okay. Leah from...
Berkeley.
Okay, there we go. Thanks.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, so not in the work that I do potentially, but I see the phrase sort of hand-in-hand professional in different places, and I'm wondering if you're thinking that there is going to be sort of a career as a hand-in-hand certified counselor where one could, you know, make a living doing that.
Not yet. Not yet. How I wish. So we want the organization to grow exponentially, and we now have some of the technology that would make it possible for the organization to grow greatly over the next few years. One of the things that we're developing is the ability to teach online, and we need, first of all, for people to hear about us. We need our name to get out there, and as it does and as people find us and find that, you know, what we have really works well, there will be plenty of people who will want to take a class but don't live anywhere near here. And so we right now are working on the first of our online classes, and they're succeeding pretty well. So the difficulty with most people who come out of the program, let me say this first. We are selective about who we take. We want people in the program who have a constituency already, who are part of a mom's group and have done some teaching of, you know, yoga or teaching of massage or, you know, teaching of something else helpful, and they have built relationships. They have people who, if they said, hey, I've got this really cool parenting thing I want to teach, you know, there would be 5 or 7 people who would show up to try it. So we're looking for parents who have a constituency pretty readily at hand because we are a little organization with just a few people working, and we're marketing ourselves as actively as we can, but we don't have resources to put billboards up so that you've got people ready to, you know, take the class that you want to offer. So if you're in the Bay Area, we will be doing classes on a what we hope will be a regular basis in several counties starting by this fall. We were doing it before I got sick last year, and so we had to kind of contract our services for a while we figured out who could step into my shoes. We've got that all figured out, so we're expanding again. And so some people use Hand in Hand and become an independent parent educator. So they teach, you know, they teach nutrition for toddlers and they teach tantrum training. And they teach it, they're teaching Hand in Hand stuff. They're using our materials because they're now certified to use them. But they're arranging their own classes and we support them by putting those classes on the website when we can. There are other classes and things that we sponsor where we go out and we say, hey, Leah, could you teach a, you know, a building emotional understanding class? We've got a place in Berkeley. Would you like to teach with so-and-so? And you sign up to do that, and that means that you don't have to market it, although you can if you like, and we pay you a stipend for teaching. So we work both ways, and some people just take it and use it in their agencies, and they work up a curriculum that's appropriate for them, their job and their agency. For instance, we have a doctor in Toledo who knows this process quite well, and she has worked the tools into federal study that she's doing of parents of children who are dying and the staff who are treating these children. So staff get support, parents get support, she teaches these little classes, parents get to support one another while they're, you know, treating their children well in the hospital, they're in palliative care. And so some people go through the program and then just take it and find a way to use it in their agencies, and all three things are possible. It does take initiative. It's like you can't sort of sit in your house, and especially if you're a distance learner, if you sit there and think, you know, you can't sit there with your certification and think that people are going to knock on your door. It's like they don't know you're there. They've never heard this before. You need to use your influence and the relationships that you have made to build a constituency and to build a reputation in your community, and then people will come. So we can give you tools for that. We can give you business cards, we can give you kind of marketing ideas. We try to offer support there, but we can't do it for you if you want to be an independent parenting instructor. And we do have people who do our consulting on the phone, which is another way that it's easy from home when you have small children to do good work and profit from, you know, the training that you put in. Right now, I don't accept people to do phone consulting right away. It's like I want them to get out and try teaching before I bring them into the phone consulting. So that's it's sort of a more advanced thing. But it's possible to do that, you know, at odd hours and, you know, two or three times a week if we have the volume of interest, and that's building as well. So does that answer your question, Leah?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, it's not. You're not going to go to Hawaii by working for Hand in Hand.
No.
It's been 22 years, and that has never happened.
Well, you just have to have a conference in Hawaii, and everybody will come.
What we do find, though, is that teaching for us improves. It's like we get very consistent reports that when you teach a class, your parenting improves. It's like you are a better parent for having taught the class. And it really makes people feel great to be helping other people discover things that change their lives. It's like there's actually nothing like that kind of happiness. So the pay is no great shakes, but the personal satisfaction of really doing better with your own children and using your experience with, as a parent to really help other people, there's really nothing like it. I remember this last week. It's like right now I'm teaching four classes and doing, I think I'm teaching about 15 or 18 hours a week right now. And it just started this Friday that the whole load, you know, kind of fell in place. And on Friday I was just going, man, I am so happy. Oh, this is so much fun. Because in every class there's somebody who's like, oh wow, you know, that is really cool information. Or I got it. Or I did it. My child slept through the night. Or I played with my child before their doctor's appointments, and he took the doctor, and he during special time he wanted to kill the doctor with a potato masher, and And so he killed the little puppet that I had, you know, to be the doctor. And he smashed it, and he smashed it, and he laughed, and he laughed. And then he said, Mommy, we're going to cook the doctor and eat her, you know. And so we cooked the doctor, and we ate her with chopsticks. And then he just was interested and calm for a whole hour. I talked to the doctor, and he even asked his own questions, and he's just 2 years old. And he took charge of the visit, and he loved it. And it's like, you know, all it takes is one of those stories to make your week. So that's what you get teaching with us. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
So, yeah, thank you for asking. So someone from Oakland, and the name is Octavio Suarez.
Oh, no, it's Julie calling.
Oh, Julie, I see you. Okay,
Berkeley.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Hi.
That's my partner. Hi. I actually had the same question as Leah. So that was really useful, yeah, to hear what you said. And I guess one quick question would just be how many people you're taking in the fall.
I don't really know how big the class will be. We would like to take about 25. Whether there will be that many people who apply, we just never know. Right now, applications we don't have as many applications as we have had over the last 2 years, and that's probably because I was sick for most of last year and other people were scrambling to remake the organization, basically. So we put a lot of work on internal remake and remodel of how we do things, our database, and finding and hiring someone at the helm and creating a strategic plan. So we did a ton of internal work last year, and it has slowed us down for a little bit, although we've got new wheels, you know, thanks to everything that happened last year. So,
okay, great.
We'll see.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, anybody else with a question? So I think the requirements for the course are some familiarity with Parenting by Connection, some experience that you've had with it that has been strong enough that you feel like you really want to devote yourself to as much learning as you can pack into a year. Having a constituency that you would like to reach or that you're interested in reaching. We have a couple of immigrants from various countries who joined with the idea of taking this to their people, either other immigrants where they live or back to their home country when they go back. And we're pretty excited about that. Or maybe you're a single parent and what you want to do is really reach out to other single parents, and you're part of a single parents group and you think that if you get trained up that they would probably be open to this, something like that. So there's someone from Los Angeles?
Yeah, it's Mary one more time from Long Beach.
Hi, Mary. Yeah.
Hi. My question is some of the responsibilities as I read them, you know, have a little bit of an overlap to a counselor or somebody kind of in the mental health profession. Mm-hmm. While I totally understand we'll be in no way qualified to provide counseling at the end of it, but my question is there a little bit help in terms of creating a technique for being a better listener, specifically for certain temperaments? Like I tend to be a fixer, so someone tells me their problem and then I tell them the philosophy of hand-in-hand, and then I start to get in specifically to what they should do, all of which I know I'm not supposed to do. I'm supposed to just listen. So I'm wondering if that's something that's handled within this curriculum, or if that's more of a temperament thing, or if it's even more of a therapy thing.
Let's see. I don't know how to answer your question quite the way you posed it, but yes, you will learn to be a much better listener in our program. And you'll learn in various ways. We have a booklet called Listening Partnerships, and you'll probably read it, and then you'll read it again and again, because certain pieces of the information actually, you know, stand out in your mind and make new nerve pathways connect. As you go through the program, you'll notice different things. You'll get different information from the same little booklet. B, we're going to be modeling effective listening all program long. We want people to come to our weekend workshop so that they can see us in person and work with us in person. It's not a requirement, but we really hope that especially people who are distance learners will find a way to get up here for a weekend, and so that we can do this in person. You can kind of be with us, get to know us, and see how the process works one-on-one without you having to struggle to make it work. But, yeah, we'll be modeling, talking about it, talking about how to improve your ability to listen to various people, and then what it really comes down to, once we've taught you the principles and showed you the principles again and again and again, is that when you have a certain kind of trouble over and over again, or there's a certain thing that someone is trying to figure out that really throws you, it's like, oh my gosh, this parent is in such amazing trouble, You know, I've never helped somebody with a problem like that before. All of a sudden, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. When you encounter that, there's nothing that someone else can say that's actually going to get your mind going again. What gets your mind going again is looking inside, figuring out why this particular problem jumbles your brain. It's like, why can you not think? What experience have you had with anybody else that's had something like this? Or what experience have you had yourself that was something like this? So I find, for instance, that when I'm doing listening to certain parents with certain issues, there still are issues and feelings that rattle my cage a little bit. It's like I've been doing this for, 38 years, and so not too much rattles my cage, but there are still times and ways that people express themselves that make me go, oh my gosh, how am I going to be helpful here? And I usually have some pretty good guesses, but the things that throw me when other people present them are generally things that I have not done enough work on in myself. It's like I probably have an issue that's very much like that, and I haven't finished working on it. So when all else fails, we go back to listening partnerships, figure out what got triggered for us, work on that, and come back and try it again.
Thank you.
There's always a way you can take initiative, no matter how stumped you are. There's always a way you can take initiative. Any other questions that people have? Okay. Well, what I'd like to do is just I'm going to open up the line and just have people say what was useful about the call to them. So you can say a little something. Someone from San Jose, do you want to say what was useful about this?
It's Grace. Hi. How are you?
Oh, Grace. Hello.
I guess it's something so worth doing. And at the same time, having the whole idea of consistency is a little bit difficult. I could imagine myself, or I don't know if that's allowed or not, but offering classes through the Parks and Rec kind of thing.
Sure.
And that's not a built-in constituency, but a format through which I've offered classes. Yep. And you reach a lot of people, and also I think it normalizes the topic that it's for everybody. So I'm not sure if that be considered a constituency.
It's perfect. It's perfect.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a place you've been. It's a place where they know you. It's a place where they say, sure, if you want to try that, go ahead. Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Okay, someone from Prescott, Arizona?
This is Victoria.
Hi, Victoria.
Hi. What I got out of the call really was a real sense of your vision and the dedication that you have and how you're sharing that with people and really the kind of people who are interested in it. So I love listening to what you had to say and kind of the questions most people had is, well, gee, how do I do it? So
okay.
I got a lot out of the call.
Good, good. I'm really glad you could be here, Victoria. Great.
Sure.
Okay, Moshe, good to have you on the call. Do you want to say what was useful?
Hi, this is Moshe from Redwood City.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to say that I'm already familiar with your organization and your philosophy, and I was interested to know the details of how this few months, 10 months is going to be conducted and what are the requirements and what it takes to get through it. And that actually got me more interested, and I'm pretty excited to join you.
Great, great. Okay. Thanks for giving us a try. Someone from Catherine from Georgia?
Hi, yes.
Hi.
Well, I am, it's always wonderful to hear you talk. I've been on a number of your teleseminars, so it's always nice just to hear a voice. I've studied your website pretty thoroughly over the last year. I think I said early in the call when I introduced myself that I work in childcare. I also have done some work with parents as a parent coach. And in the last year, I've really been searching, you know, nationwide for programs and philosophies that sort of jive with my own, and yours is it completely. And you know, I'm just thrilled about it, and I hope that it works out to do it. I'm just been reflecting in the last week quite a bit about what I'm going to have to rewire in myself terms of all of those old ways we learn, you know, to be with children when they have a tantrum or, you know, embarrass us in the grocery store. Or I think that's going to be a real challenge for me, just to rewire some of that stuff. But I'm thrilled about the process. Yeah. There's...
You won't have to do it all by yourself. There'll be all the rest of us in there.
And that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Yeah. That's joining us.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, sure. Leah, how about you?
It's definitely a beautiful thing that you've created here, and I've done a Beyond Emotional, Building Emotional Understanding class and read the book a lot, and just find it something that I'm so glad that I have access to as a parent. Like, I can't imagine parenting without. So I am very drawn to the idea of wanting to share that, and I'm just trying to figure out how that would work in my life financially and work, you know, all of that. So it's helpful what you said, and I'm going to be mulling that over for a bit.
Okay. Just a little footnote here. Another thing that I'm really, we are finally going to have the technical capability of doing this, and that we can have telephone-based support group led by, you know, certified instructors. Kind of, you know, on Monday there would be one at 10 o'clock in the morning, and on Tuesday there'd be one at, you know, 5:30 at night, and on Wednesday there'd be one at noon, and on Thursday, and that we can, that parents can come to our site, figure out, hey, I'd like to try this support thing, find a call, be on the call, pay us some hopefully reasonable amount once every couple of months, and that we can really do support networks like that with people who have children at home and want to contribute and want to teach, but what they can do is 7 o'clock at night on Tuesdays because there's somebody else that can take care of the kids. So we're hoping for lots more work by people who understand how to do it, made possible by cool systems and the internet and conference calling. All right, thanks all for joining me. And if you have any further questions, you can email me at patty@handinhandparenting.org. Okay?
Thank you, Patty.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for your interest. Bye-bye.